Day 27 of the government shutdown, and the Trump administration is now forcing tens of thousands of federal workers to return to work without pay by redefining which employees are deemed essential. The administration is calling back some workers in an attempt to ease the pain of the shutdown on some of the president's supporters. For more, we're joined by NPR White House correspondent Scott Horsley. Hi, Scott.
Good to be with you, Jeremy.
So I have been through TSA checkpoints twice in the last couple of days, and it's running just like normal. But we're now talking about employees being called back to the IRS so people can get their refunds, the Farm Service Agency within the Agriculture Department, and some employees in the Department of the Interior. How many people are being told now to work without pay, and do they have any say in the matter?
They don't have a lot of say in the matter, and we don't have a precise number, but I can tell you that it's tens of thousands of additional workers who have been asked to work without pay. When the shutdown started, we had a little over half the 800,000 affected federal employees who were working without pay, a little under half who were just furloughed. Now, some tens of thousands of those have joined the ranks of their colleagues who've been working without pay, including 46,000 IRS employees who are processing tax refunds. We've got FDA employees, some folks in the Interior Department who process oil leases, a wide variety of folks whose chores have now been deemed urgent enough that they've been called back to duty.
And there's reporting suggesting that the people that are being picked are people who work in the government that may be useful to the president's base, or at least will calm down some of the stories that are out there in the news about, let's say, you know, food checks not happening, food safety checks not happening, or tax refunds going out. Obviously, everybody wants that to happen.
Yeah, I mean, we are one E. coli outbreak away from this government shutdown becoming very, very real for not just federal employees. But certainly some of these are, you know, designed to sort of serve the Trump agenda, like the Interior Department workers who are now getting ready for some oil and gas leases that are still more than a month away. That's something that's obviously just driven by the White House agenda. But things like the IRS folks to process tax returns, that obviously affects a large number of Americans, especially those who are expecting a refund. Those are the funds that are the first to file their return, and that's a way for this White House to try to kind of minimize the pain. Mm-hmm. They've said all along that their goal was to keep this partial shutdown of the government from being any more painful than it absolutely had to be.
But do they get to just decide who is considered essential? Is there precedent for this?
There is some precedent for this. If you go back to the 1990s when we had a shutdown that was about 3 weeks long, there were people whose work was not considered essential in the early days who, as time went on, that came to be seen as essential. And that's, you know, that makes some sense. There are always, in any kind of organization, there are chores that you can get by for a few days without having them done, and then as time goes on, okay, we really need that person to come back. It might certainly seem a little bit arbitrary that the supervisors get to choose who works and who doesn't.
Is this going to cost the government anything in the long run if you're bringing back employees who are not being paid right now? Do they get paid extra to come back in and work?
In general, no. I mean, already we've had Congress pass legislation and the president signed it this week saying everybody, whether they're working or not, is going to get the back pay that they were entitled to for whatever the period that the government shutdown lasts. Now, when we had the shutdown in 2013, a relatively small number of federal employees sued, saying being forced to work without pay, even for a short period of time, was a violation of federal labor law. And in that case, the government was actually ordered to pay those workers double time. So if we had a repeat of that, and already the unions representing these government workers have filed similar litigation in this shutdown, if they're successful, there could be a real price tag for the government. If they have to pay, you know, 400 or 500,000 workers double time for the time that they were initially forced to work without pay.
One more thing I want to ask you about, Scott. A new NPR PBS NewsHour Marist poll out today finds President Trump's approval rating is down. His disapproval rating is up from a month ago. Currently stands at 39% approval, 53% disapproval. That's a 7-point net change from December. And the poll finds he's losing a lot of that support among key portions of his base who have stuck with him all along, including suburban men and white evangelicals. How much of that do you think is related to the shutdown?
Well, you know, our pollster, Lee Miringoff, who conducted this survey for the Marist Institute, says it's hard to tell for sure whether this is just a temporary movement that is all about the shutdown or if it's an indication of perhaps some more cumulative slide that the president's having. I suspect a lot of it has to do with the shutdown, since that certainly dominated the news coverage over the last 3.5 weeks. And you're right, we are seeing some erosion even in those what have been very sturdy pillars of support for the president. Among white evangelicals, a 13-point drop in net approval. Among white working-class men, a 7-point drop in approval. Among Republicans, a 10-point drop in approval. Now, he is still well above ground in all those groups. Among Republicans, his support has gone from 90 to 83, still pretty solid. But it is an interesting erosion.
That is NPR White House correspondent Scott Horsley. Scott, thanks so much.
You're welcome.